Thank you for giving. We appreciate it so very much. I want to share for just a few moments this morning. On the relationship between man and God. The relationship of God to man. I'm not going to touch every aspect of it, but something that is very, very important that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I'm entitling this message, The Potter's House. Tremendous things take place in the house of the potter. He is creative. He is thoughtful. And he knows by looking at the clay pretty much what that clay is best suited for. And that's much like our Heavenly Father. So I want us to look together in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, Israel. I know that he said Israel, but that's a truth that still holds true today, that we are in the hand of the Lord, and he can do with us as he sees fit. He is molding and making us, and everything that he's doing turns out for our good. He only wants the very best for mankind and for his children. You see, God uses many images to describe the relationship that he has to his people. He speaks of the shepherd and the sheep relationship, the husband and the wife relationship, the father and the children relationship, just to name a few. All of these are wonderful, and they teach us many valuable lessons about life, of ourselves and of the Lord. However, while we are like sheep and we're protected and we're provided for by the shepherd, and as a wife, we are loved without condition by the husband, and like children, we are constantly under the father's loving care, there is another aspect of our lives that needs to be factored into the equation. Jesus didn't just save us from our sins so that we would go to heaven and avoid hell. He didn't come and die just for that reason. He saved us so that we might be active and engaged in his service here on earth, so that we might partner with him, that we might work with him, that we might follow him while we're here on earth and do his work, do his will. Now, if we're going to be his servants, then we need his power to get that job done. And he said he would give us whatever we needed. And he's proven it over and over and over. Now, if we're his servants and we need his power to get the job done, then we need to be in a good relationship with him so that he can give us his power and use us as he sees fit. Never let a child of God think that he can do it on his own. I've heard so many people say, I got this. And they don't have that. They need something that's bigger than themselves. And they really don't have it all together. So John chapter 15 verse 5 makes our dependence upon Jesus crystal clear. So the first thing I want to look at is the potter's mission. The potter's mission. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. As the potter was sitting at the wheel and he was spinning that wheel and the clay was on top of the wheel, that potter had a precise purpose. He had a precise intention. He plans to take clay, and from that clay, he's going to produce vessels. He wants to make a vessel that's going to be beneficial, a vessel that's profitable to him, that will be found useful, that will bring honor to him. These pieces that he's manufacturing are intended to be used by him and used by others and be a blessing to whomever uses it. That's his intention as he's sitting there, taking the clay and beginning to mold it. That's God's intentions also. He excels in taking old, worthless clay and transforming it by his grace into vessels of honor and glory. He takes those things that are, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. That's Paul's words, not mine. But he was describing how sometimes God's children are looked at. They're looked at as the scum of the earth. They're looked at as the garbage of the world. But he, God, wants to turn us into those vessels of honor. So Jesus saves by grace, and then he begins a process of changing that person, that individual, into a vessel that will produce a benefit for the kingdom of God. And he begins to mold us. From the moment we're saved, he begins to mold us and make us into what he knows that we need to be, to a vessel that will be useful to him and his work, one that will bring honor to his name, one that'll bring glory to his name. God is interested in taking the worst that he can find. And believe me, I was one of the worst. He had to look under leaves to find me because I was low down. And God will find the worst that he can find, and he changes it into the best that heaven's got to offer. Now, I don't know that I've fulfilled that part. He's still working on me, and I can feel him pressing every once in a while. And I can feel him molding, and he's still at work in my life. But God's intention is for you to be the very best you can be in every area of your life. That you'll be a vessel that will be able to do what he wants you to do, to be what he wants you to be. And that's excelling. The potter uses ingredients in his intentions in order to accomplish those lofty goals that he has in his heart and in his mind. The potter must work with materials that leave much to be desired. I mean, think about it. He's using dirt, piling it up, and making something out of it. Kind of sounds like what God did when he took the dust of the earth and formed man out of it, and then he breathed the breath of life into him. And God did a pretty good job, because men and women, they kind of nice looking. So God, he excelled. The potter, he does the same thing. He takes old dirt and he makes something beautiful out of it. The condition of the clay. Now, remember this. The condition of the clay as it's found in the ground is not suitable for use. You can't go out there and grab a handful of dirt and start making a pot out of it. It's not going to work. It must be dug out of the ground. It must be brought to the potter's house. It must be allowed to weather for weeks to dry. And the dry material is then dumped into a tub or a wooden trough. And then the potter covers it with water, completely submerges that dirt that he has dug from the ground. And he does this for a purpose, because the lumps that are in it will get soft. And when the lumps start to soften up, then the potter starts stirring in the water until all of the lumps have disintegrated. And there's a thin, slimy mud or slip that has been formed. In the coastal cities, potteries are all near the sea, because the seawater is considered better for slipping process, bringing that division. But the slip, whenever it's suspended and all of the dirt and debris has fallen, then the slip is poured off into settling tanks, because there's more that's got to be done. All the stones and the lumps and the trash is left behind. Just that slip, just that which is risen to the top, is saved. Everything else is left behind. And then the clay in that slip begins to filter down and begins to settle. And the water is poured off again. And nothing's left but a plastic-like material. And it's worked and kneaded using the feet a lot of times. It has to be made pliable so the feet stomp on it, or the hands knead it. And then you have prepared clay. And the prepared clay is finely packed away, carefully wrapped, put aside. And it's allowed to stand for another 6 months before it's right for using. During that time, the quality, especially the plasticity, is believed to improve, and its worth rises. In other words, the clay, as it's taken from the ground, is totally worthless. It must be transformed into a usable state. And this is a process that takes the wisdom and the time and the energy of the potter. So when the Holy Spirit deals in your heart or mine, and God begins to woo us to Himself, and the Holy Spirit begins to pull us, usually when we relent and we yield our lives to Him, then He puts us in a preparing stage. And He begins to prepare us for that which He's intending us to be. He hadn't really started the molding. He's in the preparing stages. What a perfect picture of you and I as we're lost in sin. In our natural state, you and I are worthless to God. In our present condition as sinners, then we're of no value to God in that state. Oh yes, we were priceless in that He was willing to allow His Son to die for us, because He knew the value that we could have. But not in that present state. There has to be a transformation that takes place. And God is able to see what we can become, who we can be. So He begins a process that will bring us from worthlessness into usefulness, to bring us from that which He can't use into something that will bring honor and glory to Him. So He digs us out of the ground, of the earth, of our natural state. And He digs us and digs us. And then He begins the washing process, where there's a separation from that which was old and useless and hard into that which is pliable and good. And then He dries us from those washings. Such a clear picture of the process a person goes through in salvation. The heart is pricked with conviction, that convicting power of the Holy Spirit working down inside of us in our heart. And then He leads us with little baby steps until He reaches the place where our heart belongs to Jesus. And at that point, God can begin that molding process. He begins to make us into something of great beauty. It's evident that the Lord doesn't have much to work with when He first finds us. But we're on our way. We're made from clay. But he molds us through a long process into something that's extremely useful. The potter has to use instruments in this process. The potter uses several implements to bring the clay to a place where it's usable. Can't happen just as it's scooped up off the earth. There's that process of cleansing, of preparing. The potter takes a shovel, shovels pierce the ground. They scoop out the clay. They dig in the earth. That's not a pleasant process to be plucked out, to be dug out. It's a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit who comes to us just as we are while we're still in sin. And he begins to speak to us, and he begins to dig down inside of your heart. That's not a pleasant process. Sometimes it hurts. Because there's things that are inside of us that are not yielding. They're hard. They're clumps of worthless material that God can't use. And there has to be that separation point. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, even before he adds the water of the word, he has to dig in and pull it out. That lump of clay doesn't just yield immediately. We begin to cry out. We begin to rebel, and we begin to push back and say, no, God, it hurts. It hurts. Don't do that. But the Holy Spirit in his love and his kindness and his tender mercies, he takes everything that's unyielding and begins to pluck it out of us. He's used the shovel and he's taken us out of the earth, and now he's working on us. That convicting power begins to draw all the impurities to the very surface. And in that broken, unusable form, the Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus and presents us to him, because he's the great potter. Thank the Lord for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it best when speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks in Acts 9:5. This may be where some of you are right now. You're kicking. You're rebelling. You're pushing back, saying, no, God, no, no. It hurts too much. No. Don't show me who I really am. Don't show me what's really inside of me. If the potter is digging around in your life and he's removing those lumps from what you are, he's got a desire. He's calling you. He's pulling you toward himself. He's preparing to present you to his son, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. I plead with you today. If you're in that process and the great potter is digging around in your life, he's calling you to come to him, and I encourage you to do so today. Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. This is the moment. And for some of you, this is the moment. You'll never regret it. You'll never look back and say, I wished I hadn't have done that. You'll be glad that you did. There's something else that the potter uses. It's called a mallet. That's a piece of wood that's usually 4x4, something along those lines. And it's got a handle on it. And it's like a hammer. But it's called a mallet. After the clay has been cleansed and it's been processed, the lumps have been dug out for the most part. The water has brought the separation. The clay has risen to the top, and now it's time to begin to form it. That clay is brought and it's placed on the table. And the potter takes a wooden mallet and he begins to pound that clay. That pounding process makes it malleable. It brings the air bubbles to the very surface. It breaks down any small lumps that are left that might be trapped in the clay. So those air bubbles and lumps begin to break down, and the air bubbles come up and they can be seen, and the potter can take care of them right now, because if they're left there, those air bubbles will form a pocket in that clay, and that'll produce a weak spot, and it'll cause that vessel to be fragile, unusable, and to one day maybe even break apart. I don't know how many of you might have been using a coffee cup and a crack appears in it. Sometimes that's caused by a bubble. Or the handle, whenever you put it in the microwave or you put something super hot in it, the handle gets so hot you can't hardly hold it. It's because there's hollow places in there where air bubbles were. So if the air bubbles are not taken out of it, that piece that the potter's working on becomes unusable because it's so fragile. This is a picture of the trials and the calamities and the disciplines of life for the Christian. They all tend to work together to shape you and I into the image of Christ. God says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. This is a part of the all things that mallet coming down time after time upon that clay. It's all in a process of preparation so that that clay can be the very best that it can be. That's what God intends. They work together to make us more pure, to look more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So whatever we're going through, Paul is saying, it'll be worth it. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and Corinth is having some troubles. And they're in a process of being formed into a great church. And it's not comfortable. Some things are having to be plucked out, and some things are having to be beaten into subjection. And God is moving in their lives. So Paul sits down and he says, this light affliction, I know it looks tough, but it's going to be worth it all. We often sing that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And it will. We may not like the pounding of the mallet. It's very uncomfortable, but its sole purpose, whether it's on a potter's table or whether it's in life, its sole purpose is to make us more usable and more pliable in the potter's hand. The Heavenly Father knows exactly what He's doing. He's in the business of making you and I look like His Son, so that whenever He looks at us, He sees Jesus in us. That's a good thing. There's something else He uses. He uses wheels. There's a large wheel on the bottom, usually made of stone, and it's mounted on a shaft that fits down in a socket. And coming out of that large stone that's on the bottom is an upright shaft. It'll extend up to where it's right at the right level, and there's a smaller wheel that sits on top of it. And the potter uses his feet to spin that bottom wheel, which in turn spins the top wheel. As the bottom wheel turns, that top wheel turns even faster so that he can begin to work. And the clay is placed there so that he can start the molding process. As the clay turns, the potter will place his hands upon that clay and begin to shape it according to his will. Whatever is in that potter's mind, whatever's in his heart, is transferred through his hands. And they begin to shape that clay. The wheels are symbolic of the circumstances, the situations that life brings that we find ourselves in. Life oftentimes seems like it's that circle. Just the moment we get past one problem, there's another one. And as soon as we get that one out of the way, there's a trial that comes our way. And there's trials and problems and circumstances and situations that are facing us all the time, again and again. These things are hard to take. And oftentimes they confuse and they burden us. I've had more than one sit down across my desk with tears flowing down their face, saying, I don't understand. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Remember something with me, if you would. The potter is always in control. His feet upon that bottom wheel controls the speed at which the top wheel rotates and spins. And they rotate according to his will. He's well aware of everything that's going on. Never forget that God is so much in control that regardless of what you're facing in life, that all things are eventually going to work for your good. God will make sure. So that brings me to the last thing that he uses, which is his hands. All the others have been impersonal outside of himself. But now we see that the potter uses his hands. While the clay spins on the wheel, his hands are never out of contact with that clay. And the clay is never outside the contact of the potter's hands. He is in constant contact, molding and shaping and bringing that clay all through that process with loving guidance, with gentle pressures. He's molding us. He's making us. If he were ever to remove his hands from the clay, that clay would spin completely off the wheel and it would be lost. Therefore, the potter makes sure that he always has that clay under control, and he brings it along until it reaches the point that he desires, that point where he knows it's malleable, that point that he has foresaw that we would reach. What a perfect picture, sir, of our Heavenly Father. And I know there's times, and this may be one of them for some people, there's times when God seems 1,000 million miles away, totally remote and removed from what's going on in our lives. And we feel so alone in our needs. And we say, where is God? I need him now. Remember, he's the one that promised, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He will always be at his place with his hands upon us. The child of God never needs to fear that the Lord's going to walk out on him. Several years ago, I held a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and I held her in my arms, and she just clung to me. And she said, my daddy's walked out. and I don't know where he is. But he left me and mommy, and I'm so lonely. That'll never happen with God. He will never walk out. He will never leave you alone. He's always right there with you. Because if he left us spinning on that wheel, life would be out of control. And he won't allow that. So no matter how fast the wheel spins, no matter what comes your way, you can rest assured that the Lord of glory will never remove his hands from you. He's always in that process, molding and making. If you don't know the Master Potter, what a great day to get introduced to him. If you've never surrendered and let him begin to make you into what he knows you can be, what a great day to begin that process. I encourage you. To call us, to write us, to just call out upon God. Talk to Jesus, he'll talk back. He'll let you know. He'll speak to you. I have his word on it, and I've seen it 1,000 times in the past. And he's a God that changes not. You need to visit the potter's house. It's a neat place to be. It's here. In a place called the sanctuary. That he'll mold you. Let me pray for just a moment, Father. What a joy to serve you. Touch these folks that are watching during this awkward, difficult time. Let your peace that even passes understanding keep their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And if those that are there that are hurting call out upon you, answer them, Lord. Help them. Do everything you can for them. Mold them into something beautiful. Thank you for being here with us today, Lord. We appreciate it more than we can say. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for tuning in today. What a joy it's been to share these moments and these words with you. Next week, I want to finish this message. Be here. May God bless. See you later.